One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
You got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're coming at you once again from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue in the heart of Beverly, right on the 50-yard line of the Southside Irish Parade. We're brought to you by Local 150 Operating Engineer Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. Having a great time tonight because we have an old friend here tonight. This is his seventh time on the Hibernian Radio Show. The one and only James Duke Lynch, also known as Alamo CPD USMC, Bronze Star recipient, 39 years with the Chicago Police
Department. And 3 months.
39 years and 3 months. And what else can we say? You know, now, one of the things we wanted, and you've had so many great stories on the show before, but trying to focus on this one primarily with your police career, particularly in light of the situation with going on with the police, defund the police and all this other crazy stuff from all these insane groups, Antifa, BLM, anarchists, and particularly, I think you were working the Columbus statue,
yeah.
2020.
Mm-hmm. 60 policemen got hurt that night.
Yeah. I was looking at some video of that. It's frightening.
Yeah, that was when I got hit with the frozen water bottle here.
You got hit?
I didn't have a helmet on.
Yeah.
It dazed me. Luckily, it hit me in the head. I'm Irish, so it didn't bother me. We got the guy.
Oh, did you?
We got him. Yeah. We beat the out of him.
Good.
2 hours later, he was back.
No kidding.
They didn't charge him with anything.
Of course not.
It was insane.
And it was planned.
Yeah, it was planned.
I saw a lot of it. They had all these PCV pipe in these, yeah. And then they had all these umbrellas they used to hide all the stuff they were throwing.
Yeah, they delivered the stuff the day before, actually.
The fireworks and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were throwing M80s and all kinds of stuff.
But the frozen water bottles were the worst.
What were the circumstances of
were going to tear down Columbus's statue.
I know that.
Why, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's crazy.
What did he do?
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, Columbus had a lot of guts because he thought, you know, they thought the earth was flat then. Mm-hmm. He was going to fall off the edge. Mm. Oh, but before we get into the stories, I want to mention you. I want to tell you thank you for keeping the Back the Blue.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Alive Pat. And well.
Yeah.
Because we need every voice we can get.
Absolutely.
Policemen are killing themselves. They're getting killed out there.
That's a real shame, yeah.
It's like another world.
Yeah.
This gets me to why I became a police officer, if I could just say
absolutely.
This real quick.
Tell me.
I grew up, I was born in 49.
Yeah.
My dad was a policeman. My grandfather was a policeman. So I grew up in a police family.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather was the fire commissioner in Chicago. My
really?
Grandmother's father, that family, that side went on the fire department. The Lynches went on the police force.
Yeah.
We didn't like fires.
Yeah.
My grandfather told me when he got over here, Pighead Ryan, who was like a Hinky Dink Kenna, bathhouse John Coughlin kind of guy, alderman, had two uniforms, a fireman and a policeman. He said, Jimmy, which one do you want?
Oh, no kidding.
My grandfather said, I was named after my grandfather, by the way.
Yeah.
My grandfather says, "Wet it. I don't like smoke." So he got right off the boat and went right on the police force.
No kidding.
Which was very common, I guess, in those days.
Yeah.
1910, he came on.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And my dad served in World War II, Navy, came home from the war, and he went on in 46. And then I came along and poof.
You know, one of the things that we've discovered on the show, we've interviewed an awful lot of cops, why did you do it? I wanted to help people. As simple as that. Yeah.
And I think we did help a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I've delivered two babies. I had two kids named after me.
No kidding.
Yeah. The boy was Duke. And I don't know.
They called him Duke.
They called him Duke.
Yeah.
Well, this was in Inglewood, so.
He was a Duke of Earl.
But what I wanted to say was I grew up at a time when America was considered good guy. We were good guys.
Yeah.
I grew up, Davy Crockett came out on Walt Disney in 56.
I had a coonskin cap.
And I did, too.
Yeah.
And, the Wyatt Earp, Wild Bill Hickok, they were all good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, you know what? That's what I want to do. I want to be a good guy.
Marshall Dillon. Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
Matt Dillon.
And Duke got him that role, by the way.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Duke Wayne, your
Duke,
old pal?
They offered it to Duke.
Did they really?
Yeah. And he said, no, I got another guy, James Arness. He'd be great. He was on it. That was on for 25
forever.
Years?
30? Every Saturday night, my
Every
dad.
Come on,
Gunsmoke.
Yeah. And then Lawrence Welk. My grandmother always made me watch Lawrence Welk.
So you could stay up and watch Shock Theater.
And Shock Theater was on at 11 or 12, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But my parents wouldn't let us watch it.
Something's going on here. Where's Patty Houlihan? Something with this, it's making noises, the camera. Sorry, folks, we're videotaping this at the same time. Do you hear it? Oh, I'm just losing my mind, that's all.
So my sister and I would take turns staying at my grandmother's. She lived at 70th and Chappelle.
Yeah.
We lived at 71st and Merrill. So Saturday nights, we would take turns. And my grandmother would let you watch Shock Theater.
Yeah.
Okay. And she had a Murphy bed, one of those old Murphy beds.
Oh, sure. Comes down from
I don't know how she pulled it down. It was.
Yeah.
But you had to watch Shock Theater, and then you would... you had to watch Lawrence Welk, and then, So, but it was a great time. I've said this before, but it was a great time to grow up.
Yeah.
I was born in 49. So the 50s were, we were, except for Korea, we were at peace. Life was good.
Tell me the story about the baby that they named Duke. What was the situation?
I was on the wagon in Inglewood.
You mean you were working the wagon?
Yeah, the paddy wagon. They called it the paddy wagon because it used to take the drunks.
Yeah.
They were all, a lot of them were Irish.
Yeah, I know. That's why they call it a
paddy
wagon.
And the guys working the wagon were Irish.
Of course they were.
Yeah. So I got, it was, they used to call it confinement. It was a confinement call. We got a confinement at 67.
What does that mean?
Well, she's expecting.
Oh, we're going to have a baby. Yeah.
And they used the police and the fire
as ambulances
because nobody ever drove them to the hospital. They called the police.
Yeah, I want to ride.
That would be 14 people in the apartment, but they would call the police to take them to the hospital.
Yeah.
So I got in the back of the wagon with her, and because it was coming out.
Yeah.
It was coming out, but I knew how to do it because they told us, they taught
you
us
had training
in the academy how to do it. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, all you have to do is cut the cord so that the baby doesn't choke on the cord.
Sure.
And I got her in. We got her in. She had the baby in the wagon.
Yeah.
They came out. The doctor came out from St. Bernard's Hospital, where I was born,
right
by
on the south side.
Yeah.
Jackson Park.
That's where I was born, too. And the doctor said, Duke, you did great job.
Yeah.
Baby lived.
Yeah.
So we were going back. I made sure everybody was okay, and we were walking back to the wagon, and the woman grabbed my hand and said, I'm going to name him Duke.
Oh, wow.
After you. She heard the doctor call me Duke.
She heard the doctor call you Duke.
Duke, yeah. You know what? Nobody ever called me Jim.
No, of course not. Yeah.
So I grew up, it was Alamo then.
Yeah.
Then it became Duke later on.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, that's because in fifth grade, you skipped 61 days of school consecutively to go watch the movie.
Well, 30 days because I stayed to watch it twice, so
okay.
It was a three-and-a-half-hour movie. It was.
But you had to repeat fifth grade because
fifth grade, Sister Rosina.
And then you went on to have a career in the Marines, and you met John Wayne. But that's not what we're talking about.
Okay, we're talking about the police.
So the babies, where do you think Duke is now, that Duke?
Oh, I hope he's still around. This was this was about 65 years ago. So hopefully he's still alive.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to try and track him down.
Yeah. You know, I shot a guy in 72.
Yeah.
He was raping a nurse behind County Hospital.
Oh, yeah, I remember this
and
story.
And I was going out with a nurse from County Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on midnights, and she was working days, so yeah. I used to go and see her in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was just walking in County Hospital, and this guy came up, and he said, "Officer, there's a guy raping a nurse in the parking lot."
In the parking lot.
So I ran over, and this was the old days when you didn't have to go, "Stop or I'll shoot," and all this crap, you know.
Okay.
But I didn't want to shoot him then because he was on top of her.
Yeah, I might hit her.
I might hit her.
Yeah.
So I said, "Hey, you," blah, blah, blah. And he got up, and he ran away. I shot him 4 times.
Oh, as he was.
I fired 6 times, so I don't know where the other 2 bullets went.
Yeah.
But I hit him 4 times.
Yeah.
And 10 years later, I saw him selling drugs.
Are you kidding?
On the corner of 63rd and Halstead. He was in a wheelchair.
No kidding.
Yeah, I dragged him into the emergency room. I hit him 4 times.
Yeah, but did you go and talk to him when you saw
no.
him?
No.
I could have finished the job.
But the, yeah, I thought that was, he lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the one guy I killed didn't live. The guy on the, when the, they were robbing the liquor store.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that
55th and Halstead.
Yeah.
And I pulled up. We were in one-man cars then. We didn't have vests then. And I pulled up, and the guy, I shot the one guy. He had a gun, though.
He had a gun in his hand.
He had a gun in his hand. And I shot him, and I ran up, and I, we never pull up in front. You know, I always pull down the street.
Yeah.
So I run over to see if he was still alive, and the second guy came out and shot me.
Right in the gut.
Right in the stomach.
Yeah.
Mr. Payne.
Yeah.
Mr. Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember from being in Vietnam that if you were every shot in the stomach,
it's over.
It's Blake and Lamb time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Dominus vobiscum.
Yeah.
So they said, "We'll take him to a little company of
little company
no,
of Mary."
I mean, Holy Cross.
Oh, Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
Okay.
And I said, "No, God, I would have." Holy Cross had a terrible reputation then.
Oh, did it? Yeah.
But I had the greatest doctor
in the
world.
Oh, you had Dr.
McCarthy from County Wicklow.
Yeah, yeah.
Came into my room smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
This was when you could smoke, you know. And I was in a lot of pain. They gave me some stuff. And I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. I lost 28 pounds. And
I thought it was three months you were in the place.
No, that was Vietnam. I was
in the hospital. Yeah.
And so I've, you know what, like I said last time, nothing bothers me because I've been through so much stuff in my life.
You think you ever might have had PTSD or anything?
No.
No?
No. Yeah. No. Because I don't dwell on,
I mean,
I remember the bad stuff,
but
I don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen guys get blown up. The point man got blown up. The guy behind him got blown up.
He's in Vietnam,
the fourth guy back. So I wanted to talk about... I showed you this, the Friend in Deed Award.
Yeah, what's that all about?
I was like, my kids were real little.
Was that 1976?
Was it 76?
Yeah. I think that's what it says on it, yeah.
So I was working in the 2nd District.
On the south side?
On the south side.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were working midnights, and we went and got a six-pack after roll call.
Okay.
And there was a fire on the 16th floor in the Robert Taylor Homes, 39th and Federal.
Yeah.
Was 39th and Federal, on the 16th floor. Now,
The
elevators never worked.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ran. My partner stayed in the truck. I ran up.
You mean the wagon?
In the wagon.
Yeah.
And oh my God!
You ran up 16 flights of stairs
with a can of beer in my hand. And by the time I got to the 8th floor, I was sober. I mean, so. And I heard the screams.
Yeah.
Help, help. They couldn't get out of the apartment.
Yes.
There was 8 people in the apartment.
Holy cow.
4 kids and 4 adults.
Wow.
I kicked the door open,
which
was, you know, what they do in the movies. You know, they kick the door. I got there before the fire department did.
Yeah.
And all the smoke hit me.
And the door opened.
It fell down? It opened.
Yeah.
And...
the smoke. Okay,
I carried 2 kids out of the.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
Good for you. And then you had to take them all the way down the stairs.
And the fire department got there and because I was out. I mean, I spent 3 days in the hospital
holy
from the smoke.
Yeah,
but I did get the 2 kids out.
Good.
And people died in that fire.
Really?
Yeah.
Who were in that apartment?
In that apartment.
Holy cow. Yeah,
that was pretty rough. That was pretty rough. And that was my first night in the 2nd District.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know what I've got?
Where's the 2nd District?
It's at 51st and Wentworth.
Oh, okay. Sure. I know where that
is.
That's
a terrible place.
But that's a big police headquarters. I've been there.
That's the headquarters.
Yeah. When I was getting a liquor license, I had to go there to get fingerprinted. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Remember Tom Glenn, I think his name was. Do you remember that copper?
No, no.
Great guy. Anyway, he's the one who did my fingerprint.
Wow. So anyway, another harrowing experience was I was working in Inglewood.
Yeah.
I've been in some pretty rough places. I mean,
I know you have.
I wasn't always on the mayor's detail.
Yeah.
I've been in some rough places. And 67th and Yale, this guy had, we got the call of shots fired. Domestics were the worst.
Yeah.
But shots fired were bad, too.
Oh, sure. You know, so they got a gun then.
Yeah. Everybody had a gun.
Yeah.
And we got there, and I heard the gunshots. This guy had just killed his whole family.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Six people. He killed six people. His mother, father, and his four siblings.
Oh, my God.
I ran up. It was a porch. It was a house. So I ran up on the porch, and he fired at me.
Yeah.
The bullet creased my face.
No kidding.
And I thought I was hit.
Yeah.
So then he ran out the back, and they shot, the guys who were in the back shot him.
The coppers went around the back.
Yeah, they went around the back.
Yeah.
And, they took me to the hospital. I was it just creased me.
Yeah.
But that's, besides being shot in the stomach, that's about as close as I ever came.
But just the fact that the guy had just murdered all those people.
Oh, six people.
You would have been just another boo. Yeah. He didn't care.
Yeah. And, well, you know, he wouldn't have cared about killing a policeman.
No.
That's why the job is so dangerous today. Because they don't care about killing the police.
No.
Because I wouldn't say there's no repercussions, but it's one of those things where cop killers, you know, you've got people from
North.
It's
a badge of honor to them.
It's a badge, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even on the news anymore. These policemen getting killed all over the country.
Yeah.
And it's not even on the news. That's why we need people like you. And because look who's in office now.
Yeah.
I don't want to get political, but, you know, Black Lives Matter and CRT, and this is, it's just, it's not the country I grew up in anymore.
No. Well, there's an anti-police culture. There's no.
And I don't know what. I guess it started with Floyd. You know, Floyd and
George
Minnesota.
Floyd. Yeah.
But you know, I was in Inglewood, and they were. I think I'd like to end the 2nd District. I'd like to think that we did more good.
Sure.
Than, because most policemen, and I've known a lot of policemen. Like you said, they came on the job because they wanted to do some good.
Right.
And I know one of my best friends was Richie O'Brien, who was killed with me.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That was tough. He was a good friend of mine.
They were like killed execution style.
Execution style. And and they said that.
Jackie Wilson, that was the guy.
Jackie Wilson. Who
they let out.
Because he, you know, I forget his name now, was the.
Burge. Yeah.
And so they got out. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Burge. You know, I met Burge a lot of. I knew him pretty good.
Well, he was a Southside guy.
He was a Southside guy. Yeah. And he was a good guy.
Yeah. I heard that too.
You know what? Here's the difference between the police force when I came on.
Yeah.
We were an aggressive police force. A lot of us were veterans.
Yes.
And it was a, excuse me, but it was a kick-ass police force.
Yeah.
We had the task force then. They got the guns and the bad guys off the street.
Yep.
What happened? We became a community relations police force. I'm not against women being on the police force, but a lot of it changed when they started getting women on the police force. I have nothing against women being on the police force, but it was a different police force then.
Yeah.
Another thing is now you have college graduates on the police force.
Yeah.
Who grew up in kind of like this woke America that we live in now.
Yeah.
And they're good guys and women, but they don't think like we did.
Yeah.
We wanted to get the bad guys off the street. And
number one, that's the first order of business, get the bad guys out.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is when you hear of a shooting, there's so many shootings now.
Yeah.
And you see all these policemen, and I'm thinking, where were these policemen before the shooting?
Yeah.
You see a lot of them on the scene after the shooting. Where were they before? I don't know. I think it's a woke police force now, which is sad, because crime is
through the roof,
and it's every Democrat.
Well, they're not prosecuting.
And they're not prosecuting.
And they're letting them out on anybody. No bail and everything, and it's insane.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, Smollett got out in 6 days.
Yeah.
The people from January 6th are still in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, that's what my kids say. Well, you're just old-fashioned. You know, you just think it. But I remember the way this country used to be.
Well, you know,
and it was a good country.
The bottom line is, you can't send social workers out for law and order. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. How many of them have to get killed before they're going to say?
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. And you know, the problem is nobody's taking the test anymore.
Oh yeah.
Because they don't want it.
Well, who would? Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd want
they don't
it?
Want the job.
And
yeah.
a lot of policemen are transferring to the fire department.
Sure. Or they're going out to the suburbs where it's not crazy.
Yeah. But even then, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Sure.
I mean, I lived in LaGrange Park, and they had, like, it was like Mayberry.
Yeah.
They had, you know, but even then, it's bad now. Yeah.
It's still a noble calling, that's for
it
sure.
Is.
I think
I mean
so.
And I think the majority of the young people coming on still think the kind of like the way we did. They want to help people.
Yeah.
But boy, I tell you, the city needs a lot of help.
You ain't kidding.
Because it's being run by people who don't care.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with everything today. They don't care. They don't care. So I got this other award.
Yeah.
I was off duty at the time.
Which one is this?
That's the one I got for the...
A department commendation. Police Officer James Lynch. Is that your star number? 13512.
That was my first star number.
Oh, okay.
I got 13512 then after that.
What was this for?
That was for the getting to carrying those two kids out of
out of that fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got the Friend in Deed Award for this too. So my kids have been on Bozo twice. But I was off duty and I lived in, I just gotten divorced, and I was living on the north side, 2907 Bissell.
Oh, yeah.
And two apartment buildings down from me, there was a fire, bad fire. The whole house went up.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing. I kicked the door in, and I got a couple of the people out. They were Hispanic. There was a lot of people living there. But I got two of the kids out, and I got the tower from the roof. Fell on my head.
Oh,
so again, I was in the hospital for like three or because it singed top of my head, and that hurt too. That was very painful too. And they didn't have anywhere to live, so I put two of the kids up in my apartment.
Honest to God,
until they could find a place.
Holy cow! Good for you.
Yeah, that's why I got the Friend in Deed Award, not for saving them, but for putting them up.
Now, when you were at the Columbus statue. You were retired, but
I was retired.
You were helping out?
I've been working at the federal building off and on during all this crap that 1 year.
You mean 2020?
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because they hire guys like me because
experience.
There isn't enough police
to
go around anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And they knew it was coming. They knew
and
was
I,
coming.
You know, and I, you know, I had friends that were in high places, so I got, you know, I mean, I could have worked, I could have worked.
Were you in uniform?
Well, they give you a uniform.
Oh,
they give
okay.
You I was actually a federal employee.
Yeah.
And they sent
At the Columbus statue.
At the Columbus statue. I was working in the federal building.
Yeah.
They sent us over to the Grant Park where the Columbus statue was. Or is it Navy Pier? Or?
No, it's in Grant
Park.
Not
Grant Park.
Yeah. We have some footage of that, actually.
Yeah,
a lot of guys got injured very badly. Some cop lost his eye, I heard.
Yeah, it was bad. 60 of us got hurt that
way. They were throwing Molotov cocktails and M80s.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, frozen water bottles. And it's like a rock hitting you in the head.
And nobody got prosecuted.
No.
They made a lot of arrests that night.
Yeah, but they were all immediately let out. Yeah.
They're all let out. Because Kim Fox isn't going to charge anybody.
No, it's crazy.
If Jesse, I don't mean to harp on this, but Jesse Smollett, he stuck to his story that it was a hate crime, right? Everybody in the world knows it was not a...
Yeah. He made the judge gave him a pretty good tongue lash. Yeah. It was Judge Lynn. Yeah.
But I want to know, how does he get out in 6 days? And people who... I mean, I disavowed January 6th. I don't think that should have happened. But they didn't. The only person killed was
a female police officer.
A female veteran.
Oh, that's right.
It was a veteran. Killed by an African-American
police officer.
No repercussions.
No. They made a hero
no
out of him.
No repercussions. They made a hero. They didn't even disclose his name until somebody.
I can't remember her name. That was
but
sad.
She was a veteran, too.
Yeah.
And she wasn't armed or anything. I mean, none of these people were armed.
No, it's crazy.
I don't know. You know, I'm surprised the police do anything today because you can't win. There's no winning.
No, they don't even want you to chase a guy.
Right.
You can't even chase him.
After Solano, was that his name, the kid that the policeman killed?
I don't know.
They had a demonstration about him the other day downtown.
Oh, yeah.
So I think his name was Solano.
Yeah.
But he had a gun.
Yes. I remember. That was Toledo, the kid's name, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're demonstrating against the police that, because they didn't charge him.
Yes, I saw that. They didn't charge the police officers. But they were defending themselves.
Yeah. The guy had a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go home at the end of my shift.
There's no rhyme or reason to any of it. Of course, everybody does, yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't like this in the old days. You killed a cop killer. If a guy killed a cop, you killed him.
Immediately, yeah.
Now you got people from Notre Dame and Northwestern getting them off death row.
Sure. Yeah.
That's why I'm not a Notre Dame or a Northwestern.
And the Tribune.
And the Tribune.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Sun-Times. I don't even buy the Sun-Times anymore because it's a Democratic newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to get political, but.
Well, let me ask you this. Where this conversation is going is that the Democrats are not law and order people and they're against the police.
Right. Well, they're the ones that want to defund the police.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's certainly.
It's not Mitch McConnell saying defund the police.
No. Yeah.
It's Schumer and Pelosi and you know, I was watching Newsmax today, and they were talking about they want to get rid of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Well, they want to get rid of him, too. But Nancy Pelosi
Joe Biden?
Yeah.
She's
Nancy Pelosi is third in line.
Yeah.
So, hello.
Yeah, tell me about it. She's 86 years old.
And I'm yelling again.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dick Durbin was watching the Supreme Court hearings.
Oh, what a slime bag.
Oh, God.
Don't get me started on that.
I know. I can even go in there. I don't really know that much about her anyway. But Dick Durbin, we call him Durbin because he called our troops in Iraq Nazis.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what the trouble is, Irish?
Yes.
These people have been there forever.
Oh, yeah.
Durbin, Schumer.
Term limits.
Term limits. We need term limits.
Yeah.
Even for the Republicans, too.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
But you know what? They're going to, what's his name gave this nominee for the Supreme Court a tough time?
Kavanaugh. Durbin gave Kavanaugh a bad time. Yeah.
They gave Kavanaugh a terrible time.
Oh, tell me about it.
But all they talk about is Lindsey Graham gave her a tough time today.
Yeah, I know. It's all.
Well, and you know what?
Let's get back to the police, though.
Okay. They acted the police.
Police. The thing is, where do you see it going? Is it going
it's
off?
It's not
going
to end well.
No? Yeah, okay.
Not going to end well. First of all, they're leaving in droves.
The police.
In every city.
And who can blame them?
And who can blame them?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
This is exactly what the Democrats, the woke people, want. They want to defund the police. They won't have to.
But what's the solution? What are you defunding the police?
I don't know.
Crime everywhere.
They want. See, you know why they don't mind? They don't care about the crime.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't affect them.
Yeah, because they're above all that.
Lightfoot isn't concerned about the crimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi lives in a gated house with 46 bodyguards.
Unbelievable.
They don't care about the crime. It doesn't affect them.
Do you think there's something in the Irish persona that lends itself to working as police?
Yeah, because it's, you know, I brought the Duke. Because now it's become a tradition every time I do the show.
Sure, that's fine. He's welcome.
It was a tradition that my grandfather and my father, it was almost a natural thing that you would become a policeman.
Yes.
Most of them became politicians.
Yes.
And I didn't.
Some of them became politicians,
like cops, Weeping Jim.
Some of them became cops, then politicians. Eddie Burke, guys.
Eddie
like
Burke,
that.
What a jerk! A jerk.
Okay.
I was on his detail for 2 days.
Oh yeah.
I said I can't do it.
Oh really?
Yeah. I can't do it. My dad worked with him in the state's attorney's office. He came out of the police academy and went right to the state attorney's police.
Yeah,
never did a day on the street. Never heard a shot fired in anger.
Yeah.
And he went right to the state's attorney's police. And I didn't want to, I wanted to get along. You have to get along, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting outside his office. I was on the detail, and I was sitting outside his office. And he walked out, and he said, "Officer, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm on your detail. The guy's on vacation." And so he said, "I don't need you."
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, I don't care.
I'm here. I'm assigned.
I'm going to stay here whether you want me." He was a jerk.
Okay.
He was a jerk. Can I tell my Wally Phillips story?
No, because it has nothing to do with what we want to talk
about.
Okay. I'll accept the fact that you think he's a jerk.
He was.
And he was supposedly pro-blue, but
you
wasn't.
Know what? The funny thing is everybody thought he was this great guy.
Okay.
You know? Like when I met the Duke. You look up to somebody your whole life, and then you meet
them. You're talking about John Wayne, the actor.
Duke. Yes. There's only one Duke.
Yes, okay.
And he was greater than I thought he was.
Oh, yeah, in person. Yeah.
In person.
Yeah.
But I've met a lot of people because I've worked the movies for so long.
Sure.
A lot of them are jerks. Yeah.
Show business jerks.
Show business jerks.
They're the worst.
Candy was terrific.
Oh, yeah. John Candy.
Mel Gibson was terrific.
Yeah.
De Niro was a jerk.
Oh, really?
Still is a jerk.
What movie did you work on?
The name of it, I forget. Mad Dog and
Midnight
Glory?
Run?
No. He did give me an autograph, though.
Mad Dog and Glory?
Mad Dog and Glory, I think.
Okay.
And Bill Murray was a jerk.
No kidding.
I was surprised that he was a jerk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you know, Irish Catholic.
Yeah, he's Catholic from Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys go to Wrigley Field every day. When their career starts to go down the hill, go to Wrigley every day.
Yeah. What do you say is in the, were you a member of the Emerald Society?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Okay.
I stopped going when I quit drinking, but I'm back in now.
Oh, the Emerald Society?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was society. It was
well,
great.
They're big fans of yours. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, who isn't?
Yeah. Well, I'd say maybe Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy,
all those people.
You know, it's funny because we had, I was on the foot team in the first district for a while, and we had Obama.
The foot team? What is the foot team?
Well, we used to walk. We had a foot post.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Obama was coming to Chicago.
Yeah.
He was running for Congress.
Yeah.
And I turned my back on him. And I shouldn't say this.
Because you didn't like him?
I didn't like him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I knew he was just an organizer.
Yeah.
And after being in Reverend Wright's church for 20 years and saying, damn America.
And then saying, I don't know the guy.
That's when I heard that, that's when I turned my back on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean.
Were there any repercussions of that?
Oh, I got a little trouble.
Oh, did you?
Because it was on camera.
Oh.
A little trouble. They didn't know who it was, but they found out.
Yeah. Well, what would you tell a young cop who's not going to pack it in?
Well, my son was ready to come on.
Oh, Bear.
Bear.
Yeah.
And I talked him out of it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no future in it.
Yeah.
There's no future in it. If you go to college to get a degree, why would you put your life? Plus, you know what? I never worried about getting killed.
Yeah. You didn't?
No. Because I was in Vietnam.
I was afraid.
Yeah. I mean, there was times when I was afraid, when that bully went by my face.
Yeah.
I was afraid. But I still ran in.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my job.
Yeah.
That was my job.
And so what did you tell Bear? Don't do it.
There's no future in it.
Yeah.
You know, the guys, I did 39 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And the guy, when I went to the pension board, he says, you know, I haven't had a guy with 39 years in here. And now they're coming in with 4 years.
Yeah, let me out of here.
5 years.
Yeah.
Because there's no future in it.
Well, there may be no
future. Plus the way it's
there's
run.
There's got to be a future for our society because without police, we are screwed.
I don't understand why. That's what I don't understand. You have to have the police.
Yeah.
And you have to have a border.
Yes.
We don't have either.
Yeah.
We don't have a border.
No.
Fentanyl is coming in. We had 100,000 deaths from fentanyl.
Yeah.
Last year. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
Nobody cares. I mean, I just...
That's what really killed George Floyd.
That's what killed George Floyd.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I watched this thing on... what was the name of that guy in L.A.? Can't we all just get along?
Oh, yeah, Rodney...
Rodney King.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean...
He's right.
He's...
Well, why can't we all get along?
Why can't we all get along?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they tried this community policing. What happened? It didn't work.
No.
You need to go back to the... I mean, Gates was the commissioner in L.A. during
yes.
the Rodney King thing.
Yeah.
And he was...
He was the police commander.
They had a smaller police force because yeah. they were tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at it. Look at L.A. now.
Oh, it's nuts.
Look at Chicago now.
Yeah, I
mean,
know.
It's every night you watch the news, it's like six people were shot over the weekend.
Carjackings, everything.
Carjackings. Bear almost got carjacked at his condo.
No kidding.
Yeah. Luckily, he had his 9mm with him.
And did what did he do? Just take
They took off.
Oh, wow.
They saw the 9mm. And
good for him.
Well, that's what they do. See, they pick on the weak and the defenseless.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you show weakness, like Putin in Ukraine.
Putin.
Nothing's going to happen to him.
Unless one of his guys plugs him.
Oh, you know what? I always thought that somebody would go up behind Stalin and...
Yeah, but they didn't. You're right.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, they I know this isn't about the police, but you watch Stalingrad. How many of them died in Stalingrad for this guy?
Millions.
Millions.
Yeah, yeah.
And he killed 30 million of his own people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, the Ukrainians fought for the Germans. A lot of them.
So what you're saying is we are basically screwed.
We're screwed. I see no.
Thank you. I see
no future. I don't see a future.
Yeah.
I've got 10 grandchildren. What's going to happen to them?
Yeah.
You can't drive down. You can't go anywhere, worried about getting carjacked.
No.
Or they'll kill you for your car. They'll kill you.
Yeah. What about the Catholic Saint Michael, the Archangel, being a?
I got him.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, does that any help, do you think? I mean, would you say
faith always helps.
Yes, okay.
If you didn't have any faith.
Because that's all we got, pal.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
I keep St. Michael with me, you know.
Well, that's a very Irish thing.
That's a very Irish thing. Yeah. Although, you know, I worked with a guy named Pierchowski for 15 years.
Yeah, good Polish.
And he was always saying, you know what, Duke, he says, when he came on, he was in the Marine Corps, too.
Yeah.
He didn't go to Vietnam, though. But anyway, we were great friends.
Yeah.
And we're still great friends. And he said, you know, Duke, he always kind of had a thing about the Irish because he couldn't get on.
Oh, he thought the
Irish. He said it was all Irish.
Yeah. It was at one time.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
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 And the fire department, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
My great-grandfather was the fire commissioner. I've still got his helmet. You've seen it.
Yes, I have. Yeah. We got to wrap this up.
You got to wrap it up?
But
I got to tell you this one story.
All right. Quick. Yeah.
I wasn't going to get killed, but Leroy McNamara and I work in the 12th District in the projects. We got a DOA.
Leroy McNamara.
He's passed away now.
Okay,
but,
God rest his soul.
But I was on the 7th floor, and the elevators never worked.
So I think I've heard this story.
Yeah, I threw Leroy and I threw him over the
balcony. It was a DOA.
It was a DOA. And it was like 89 below zero that night, so we weren't going to carry him down the stairs. So 3 in the morning, we threw him over the side. And poof, landed.
He splattered.
They took him to the morgue. And
they said, this looks like a homicide. Yeah.
So Leroy, he had a brogue. He was from Ireland. And he said, don't say any. Don't say it. Don't
say Duke, let me do
so
the
we
talking.
Got a call to go in and see the watch commander, Captain Sheehan. God bless him. One of the greatest guys in the world. So Leroy says, Leroy had like 80 years on the job.
Yeah.
So he says, and I had like 2 years on the job. So he said, Duke, don't say anything. I said, okay, you know. So we walk in, and Harry Sheehan says, hey, Leroy, did you have a DOA on the 14th Street? And Leroy says, yes, sir, we did. He said, you didn't throw him over the side, did you? He said, no.
Yeah.
Well, actually, sir, what happened was we started to slip on the ice, and we were going to let him go. And I said to Duke, let him go, Duke. He went over the side. Somebody was looking out the window.
Oh, and they ratted
you
out.
They thought he was still alive.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But you know what? Those were...
He was dead already.
Was great. You know,
okay, we got to go.
One more story.
No, it's 40 minutes. We got to go.
Oh, my God. We've gone over 40 minutes before.
No, we haven't.
Can I tell you that's one guy that got his hair got stuck
quick.
In the eye?
Yeah.
Henry and I, Petrowski, are working the wagon.
Yeah.
This guy, Lower Wacker, this guy, homeless guy, and it was like 86 below zero that day.
Yeah.
Long hair. His hair got stuck in the ice. So
in
we had
ice.
To use the axe.
Was he frozen? Or
he was frozen. Dead. He was dead.
Oh.
So we had to use the axe to get his hair out of this. So we took him to county hospital to get him pronounced.
Yes.
And the doctor said, I can't pronounce this guy. He's got all these cut marks on his head.
You guys kept missing.
I said, well, we had to use the axe to get his hair out of the ice.
Give him a haircut.
But you know,
with
I fell
axe.
In the river because I pulled on him. And
yes.
I
you
let
fell
go,
in?
And I fell in the river. I had to get 16 shots.
Oh, sure.
But I had, you know, it was wintertime, so I had my heavy coat, the gun, the radio. And you know what I heard? Luckily, I landed on some guy named Guido in the river, and I came back up.
Yeah, sure. And we're going to wrap this up.
My dad always said that's where the mafia
sure.
dumped the bodies in the river.
In the Chicago River.
Luckily, I landed on some guy named Guido, and I came back up. But okay. I want to say hello to my wife, Jean.
Quickly.
She's home with,
hi, Jean.
She's home with Shannon.
Okay.
Shannon's doing okay.
Hi,
everybody
Shannon.
Asked me how
right.
Shannon was doing.
You'll be back. Don't
I'll
worry.
I'll be back. Number eight.
Okay. You'll be back for number
but by
eight.
By the way, seriously, I can't thank you enough for what
no
you do.
No problem, pal. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take a little break here on the Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.IE.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
And we're back. Yes, that was the Alamo. James Duke, Alamo Lynch, USMC, CPD. Incredible game. All right, so I want to remind everybody, our old friends over at the Beverly Arts Center, where we did Hooli Fest, kind of seems like a year ago, but it was actually March 12th, are doing, From Ireland, Songs, Poems, and Stories of Irish Immigrants. And in that show is our old friend Kathy Cowan, who has a lovely voice, and she sung Irish folk songs at performances with Doc Severinsen. I didn't believe that. Paul Winter. Anyway, she's been around the block. And in this show, she has the one and only Kathleen Keane and Jesse Langan on the guitar. So it's going to be a heck of a show. And I want to remind you all to get over there on Saturday, April 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Beverly Arts Center. Kathy is an amazing entertainer and a storyteller and history buff. And she knows all about the Ireland songs, poems, stories, and Irish immigrants. Tickets are $30 and are available at the Beverly Arts Center website, www.thebeverlyartscenter.com, by telephone at 773-445-3838, or go to the box office at 2407 West 111th Street in Chicago. Now, might even have Kathy come by the show next week and sing us a song or two, but put that on your calendar. You will love it. Now, Billy, you know, whenever I'm walking down Restaurant Avenue, I see the window of Ken's Wrong's Hearts and those great Irish songs, even the Cork and Kerry. I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, holy, who died? Cynthia Prendergast valiantly fought multiple sclerosis for over 39 years with courage and grace, age 62. Beloved wife of 38 years to John Prendergast and devoted mother of Mark, Gina, and Beth. God rest her lovely soul. And Billy, she was waked at Sheehy's, where other eight people go. Okay, Mary Muldoon, 98. In 1975, she moved to Chicago, where her husband Jack completed his career directing the Ravenswood Community Mental Health Center. She loved Chicago, most especially the Art Institute, the Goodman Theater, and her two women's spirituality groups. She shared many neighbors her Catholic faith and passion for the Catholic faith, spirituality, gardening, pastel painting, and poetry. She's survived by her three children, Mary, Sean, and Matthew Muldoon. God rest her soul. Mary E. Muldoon, 98. Frank Moriarty, 85. Frank was born in Chicago, the proud son of Irish immigrant parents. John and Mary Ann Moriarty was a graduate of Weber. and DePaul University. He worked in management for JCPenney stores for 36 years. He was a bowler and golfer for years and a Chicago White Sox fan to his dying day. And I was talking to PJ today, our OBIT scout, and I said, you know, I like the Sox too, but I don't think I put them in my OBIT. But he did, so he must be a bigger fan than I. God, and he also was predeceased by an infant daughter, Hope Elizabeth. Very touching. He survived by his loving wife of 60 years, Mary. His devoted children, Sharon and Kathleen, and his son, Dan. God rest his soul, Frank Moriarty. Father William B. Gubbins, 92. He died at Palos Hospital of suffering a stroke a couple days earlier. He was at associate parister at Holy Name Cathedral, Our Lady of Knox, St. Nicholas, St. Sylvester, and Our Lady of Mercy. God rest his soul. He's pastor at Queen of Martyrs at one time. Father William B. Gubbins, 92. God rest his lovely soul. Mary Ellis Connor, 88. Ellis was born in Hot Springs, South Dakota, before moving to Beverly, where she would spend most of her life. She was a longtime parishioner of St. John Fisher, graduated from St. Zav's School of Nursing, and she met her husband of over 45 years there, the late Jack Connor. She was also a master quilter, avid watercolor painter, and crossword puzzle doer extraordinaire. She will be missed by many. She's the loving mother of Kevin, Terry Brankin, an old friend of mine, Kathleen Khaki, and Patty. God rest her soul, Mary Alice Connor, 88. Sister Conchetta Petrowskis, SSC, that's obviously the order, 101. The Sisters of St. Casimir, that's what SSC is. She was the Sister of St. Casimir for 78 years, 101 years old. She, during her tenure, she was at Maria High School at one time. God rest her lovely soul. Sister Conchetta, Sisters of St. Casimir. Tom McNicholas, 91, native of Arabella, County Mayo, Ireland. God help us, County Mayo. Husband of the late Mary Ellen McNicholas and the loving father of Patrick and Sheila. God rest his soul. Tom McNicholas, 91. Kathleen Ann Scanlon, Chicago native. She survived by her sister, Patricia Scanlon. God rest her soul, Kathleen Ann Scanlon. Anna Mae Bailey, also known as Dranny. I thought it was Granny, but it's Dranny. Beloved wife of the late Walter for 67 years and mother of Carol, Bobby, Joe, Ron, and Dave. God rest her soul, Anna Mae Bailey. Mark Mitchell, 47. Well, this is a heartbreaker. Beloved son of Mark J. Mitchell III and Christine, loving brother of Mary. God rest his soul. Contributions may be made to University of Notre Dame, the Mark J. Mitchell IV Memorial Fund. God rest his soul, Mark J. Mitchell IV, 47. Mary P. Hines, age 71, devoted daughter of the late William P. and Helen Hines, and the dearest sister of Robert, Dolores, Lawrence, the late William Hines, the late Donald, Dutch Hines, the late Edward Hines, and the late Tom Hines. God rest her soul, Mary P. Hines. And I think that does it. So I'll close up the crypt, Billy, and we'll be right back with some final words after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Deep, deep
in
deep,
the south deep, side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All
deep.
The way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yakidak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mix what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes oh. and took him to a state of mind.
Mind, yes. mind, mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Hoolytown. Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Where everybody's bonkers in the only Yankee Deck, my favorite place, known as Hoolytown. There's a little piece of wisdom I just picked up off the internet where you hear all pieces of wisdom. Question. Does farting burn calories? Google says one fart burns approximately 67 calories. Farting 52 times in one day can burn 1 pound of fat. I'm going to start a whole new way of weight training. A can of beans. All right, now you've heard of wisdom. Wisdom. Now we're going to hear the wisdom of grandchildren. And I am lucky enough to have two grandchildren of my own. They're the greatest. But these are reports from other grandparents. A lady said, my grandson was visiting one day when he asked, Grandma, do you know how you and God are alike? I manually polished my halo and I said, no, how are we alike? You're both old, he replied. Okay. That happened to the drummer. There you go. My young grandson called the other day to wish me a happy birthday. He asked me how old I was and I told him 73. He was quiet for a moment. Then he said, did you start at one? Yes. Okay. Now, here's a piece of grandchildren wisdom. A grandfather was delivering his kids back to their home, his grandchildren, back to their home one day when a fire truck, truck zoomed past, and sitting in the front of the fire truck was a Dalmatian dog. The kids started discussing the dog's duties. They use him to keep crowds back, said one child. No, said the other one. He's just for good luck. A third child brought the argument to a close. They used the dogs, she said firmly, to find the fire hydrants. Okay. Wisdom, the wisdom, the wisdom of grandchildren. Okay. Thanks, everybody. It was so great to have Alamo back again. Remember, we're always looking for guests. I think we're going to try and get Kathy Cowan to come by. And don't forget to get tickets for her show.
the Irish show at the Beverly Arts Center. I'm so glad St. Patrick's Day is over. It was fun, but it taken that out of me. So God bless you all. Hey, I hope everybody saw my story about Gino Cooney and the Irish Echo. If not, look it up. It's brilliant. Also, a big shout out to my pal John Cass for printing my St. Patrick's Day story in there, and all those who reached out to me and said they liked it. So we will see you later. Bye. God bless. And I buckled up my shoes, and then I started walking.